looked up and said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And so he knew that God was right there while he was being persecuted. And while the
we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
How many of you know prayer works? Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. And together we'll watch God change things. How many of you really believe that this morning? I say, how many of you really believe that this morning? The Bible encourages us to pray one for another. Prayer is so powerful. When people who know God utter the words of God to God, God hears. And he answers prayer. And the question has come, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. It may be too hard for you and it may be too hard for me, but it's certainly not too hard for God. We've just got to trust him. To know that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Any witnesses in the house? Gracious God, our Father, thank you now for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Son who's given to us life eternal. And we give you all praise and glory now for this preaching hour. Speak to our hearts. Unfold, disclose the truth that we are teaching today, that someone might hear and heed what you have to say. Bless us, Lord, as you show us the text, but us in the text, that we might be able to practice these principles for profit and not only give you the praise, but to walk in them for profit. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all glory, all honor, in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 18, 19, and 20. Now, St. Matthew, chapter 21. Verse 18 says, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away." Verse 20 says, "And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away?" You may be seated in the presence of God. For just a little while, I want to talk about what happens when something turns to nothing. What happens when something turns to nothing? My brothers and sisters, as we look at this story, it's classic. We've heard it many times in the preaching arena, in Sunday school, and in teaching forums. And there are many things to be gotten from these verses. But I want to focus on the fact that there was something originally in place, operating and functioning according to purpose and plan, and one day ceased to be what it was called to be and upset Jesus, so much so that Jesus removed its presence off of planet Earth. Nothing was found on the tree. The record says, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he was what? Hungry. He hungered." He was hungry. Now, these are talking about the natural realities of Jesus, just as much as he was God, he was man. And so, as he's returning back in the city, the word says that he hungered. He wanted breakfast. He wanted to eat just like we do. And so, listen at this. He's coming down the road. And the Bible says, "And when he saw a fig tree," where? "In the way," which is an interesting term, because what it literally means is in the path or on the road. But on the other hand, it literally means what it says, in the way. One of the things that you're going to discover here is that Jesus sees the fig tree. Why? Because one, he's hungry. I don't want you to super spiritualize this thing and make it something that it's not. Jesus is hungry. He's looking for food. And so, like this tree and many other trees, and in the country of the Eastern world, many trees were planted or allowed to remain near roadside where travelers would go to feed hungry travelers so that they wouldn't enter into people's vineyards. And certainly some were still capable of going and getting the very edges of the vineyard to take just enough for food, not to pack up for the journey and take along with them, but to eat as much as they could eat and to continue on their way. Jesus is hungry. He spots a tree way up the road. It's full of beautiful leaves. It calls his attention. He's looking at this tree and he's excited because he sees food up ahead. All right. Now keep in mind now, it's early in the morning. He's hungry. He's tired. He's just getting back into the city or on his way back there. And so now this tree is inviting to him. And so he makes his way to the tree. The same tree that was seen back on the road. He perhaps gave necessary energy to getting there quicker, focused, because he knew once he got there, he'd be able to end his hunger. But he got to the tree. And the record is that he found nothing. Nothing. Now, let me just try and put all of this in perspective, because nothing was not what he was looking for. He wasn't looking for nothing when the leaves on the tree suggest there would be something. Let me give you a little history on fig trees. Fig trees usually produced figs first, and then leaves after the fruit had come on the tree. So the advertisement of leaves on the tree would suggest that fruit was already there, being covered up by the leaves. Now, one of the things that you're going to discover is that one of the other writers says that it was not yet time for figs, which means this was a special fig tree, which was an older fig tree, which usually produced pre-season figs or figs before the season had fully come. It was a prize tree that allowed you to have a taste of figs. They were not the big plump figs. They were smaller figs, very sweet, very tasty, which was known to the locals as figlets. And Jesus was good with the figlets, because he knew the time for figs was not yet. Stay with me now. So he wasn't looking for full figs at the full season, because it was still pre-season. But now notice here again, when the Bible says he came to it. First thing I need you to see is Jesus' personal examination. The fig tree. He examines it. Well, what is he examining it for? He's examining it for fruit. He wants to eat. There's nothing on the tree. So now the examination becomes more intense. Why does it become more intense? Well, because now Jesus wants to know, why doesn't it have fruit? Now, he does not find fruit, so he wants to know why. But not only does he want to know why it doesn't have fruit, but he wants to know what's the cause of the tree not yet bearing fruit, but plenty of leaves covering up as if there were fruit. And then not only that, but he's looking deeper and seeing when was the last time this tree produced fruit. Stay with me here now. Because he is capable of this examination, because John 15:1 says, I am the true vine. Not only is he the true vine and knows what should happen and goes on in this agricultural metaphor, but not only that, he also knows that fig leaves here is not the first time in history where it has covered up something. Go back with me to Genesis. When Adam and Eve sinned, and they were naked all the time until they sinned, eating off the wrong tree, the tree of good and knowledge. Now they know they are naked. They take fig leaves, sew them up together, cover themselves up. God comes walking in the cool of the evening and asks them, where are they? They say they were hiding. Why are you hiding? Because we're naked. Who told you you were naked? Fig leaves covering up. And yet here again now, the fig leaves are covering up something, but it's not covering up figs. It's covering something up more dastardly than that. It's covering up something that the tree didn't want anybody to know. And it was simple, that the old tree wasn't what it used to be. You know how it is when we ain't really what we used to be. We cover up and pretend and perform. Well, that's what the tree was doing by showing its beautiful leaves, healthy, large leaves, covering up the tree, creating shade. But that was not the purpose of the tree, to create shade. It was to create fruit. Listen, when you cover up the reality of what you're here for, then you try to change the very nature of what you are. You try to become something else that you aren't, because you aren't what you're supposed to be. And so what the tree was doing was covering up the fact that it was not producing fruit any longer. So Jesus did a personal examination, which led him, listen to point two, a powerful evaluation. What did Jesus evaluate about the tree? He evaluated that the tree had produced fruit in the past. Go to John 15, you'll see Jesus knows all about pruning and about making a tree produce its best, and knowing that the purpose of a tree is to produce, and to do anything other than produce would be worthless for a tree. And so Jesus recognized that it had a past of producing, because he knew what to look for. But then he notices that it had not produced anything presently. Now, his evaluation is, the leaves should not have come if the fruit weren't on the tree. Now, listen, because he recognizes it had produced in the past, it's not producing in the present, but he sees something else. He sees the potential of the tree. And the potential of the tree is, it won't produce anything else in the future. Now, this is difficult to grasp. Why? Because what it suggests is that the tree is camouflaging truth. It's no longer a tree for fruit to be eaten from, to be gathered from, to get good from. It's a tree taking up space. It's a tree pretending to be productive, but not. It's a tree calling weary travelers off the path to itself, looking for food, who are hungry, losing time, losing energy, losing value in wasting time looking for fruit on a tree that will never produce. My brothers and sisters, when you begin to look at this evaluation, it's important, because you begin to see how Jesus feels about nothing. Mathematically, 0 minus 0 is 0. 0 plus 0 is 0. 0 divided by 0 is 0. 0 multiplied by 0 is 0. If I continue on, it'll be a math class, but I think you get the point. That's mathematical. But I want to show you what Job said. Job said, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. That's biblical. That's biblical. But Billy Preston said in 74, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. And that's philosophical. But my old grandmother said, a hand closed, nothing goes in and nothing comes out. And that's practical. Listen, nothing is not qualified to produce anything other than nothing. Lord, I wish y'all had me, understood me. Nothing is qualified to produce nothing other than nothing. It can't produce anything else. Now, listen at this. If it can't produce anything else but nothing, don't care how you add it up, how you divide it up, how you cut it up, how you say it, in the end, all that tree would be doing is causing problems. Well, how is it causing problems, preacher? I don't understand that. Well, let's look at the tree. First of all, it's problematic because of its place. It's problematic because of its place. What do you mean? The Bible says, and when he saw a fig tree, not the fig trees, a fig tree, the one. That was the tree that he saw long way back on the road. The Bible says he came to it. He came to it. Why did he come to it? He never would have gotten off the path and gone to the tree if the tree wasn't said, look at me. Look at these leaves. I'm trying to tell you I'm something I'm not. I act like a fig tree. I look like a fig tree, but I ain't producing no fig trees and no figs on this tree and won't be doing so again. Jesus recognizes that this tree, listen, was in the wrong place to be fooling people. How many Christians are in the wrong place fooling folk? See, it's one thing for you to not be all that you're supposed to be, but it's another thing for you to position yourself in a place and act like you are. So many people have turned from the faith, walked away from Christ, given up Christianity, left the church because we were in a place pretending to be fruit-bearing trees when all we were was a bunch of leaves acting like we were productive. And if you're not going to produce, get out of the place where folk are looking for something because they're hungry. Don't expect to come here hungry and leave out hungry. They come here hungry expecting to be fed. Is there a word from the Lord? When there is a tree here in this place, I expect to eat till I won't know. Oh, help me somebody. I won't leave here talking about where can I get something else to eat at. I don't want to leave here wondering why I didn't get full. I don't want to leave here saying, listen, oh, if that's all they got, I think I'm going to leave. I don't want to mess up my appetite. Help us. So it was problematic because the tree was in the wrong place. Somebody say the tree was in the wrong place. It was problematic, number two, because of the tree's lack of productivity. Was problematic because, again, the tree was designed to produce fruit, make fruit. Listen, the fig tree, and I know this is going to blow you away, but hold on to something. The fig tree's only job was to make figs. That's it. When the Lord created a fig tree, he wanted the fig tree to do figs only, did not figs this season, apricot the next season, oranges the next season, grapes, none of that. No, all he designed the fig tree to do was to produce figs in its season. And if it was a special fig tree, it would produce extra before the season and just give them little tidbits of what is to come. Serve up little teasers that make folks say, when it gets to be a full fig in the full seed, this tree here, something else. And they look forward to coming back to the tree because of its productivity. But it was problematic because it was in a place where it wasn't producing. How many believers are in places where they're not producing? They're getting paid, but they're not producing. They look the part, but they're not producing. They're getting the perks. Y'all getting quiet on me, yeah? But they're not producing. And see, Jesus has a problem with stuff that does not produce. Matter of fact, when he turned this world over to man, he gave man dominion over everything in this world. Then told him, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, when you give it back to me, I want it better than it was when I gave it to you. I want it to be increased. I want it to be magnified. I want it to be multiplied. In other words, I want it better than it was when I gave it to you. All right. When the man who gave the talents to the servants, he gave the 1, 1, 2, and 1, 5. Told them to use it. Make the best of them. He comes back and he wants an account of their stewardship. Well, everyone had done very well with multiplying what they were given, increasing, magnifying what they had received to return, except the man who had one talent. And he said to the Lord, because I know you are a hard taskmaster, I didn't want to lose it, so I buried it. And man said, well, since you knew I was such a hard taskmaster, why didn't you at least put it in the bank and get some interest off it? No interest grows in the ground. So when he gave him that back, he took the one and gave it to the one who had produced 5. Because he recognized he had to make up for lost time. And the one who had multiplied his to 5 could produce that extra one far more exponentially than the one who had the 2. And so when you look at and understand the Lord is all about multiplying, about increasing, it's so that we understand God wants us to be productive. The third reason that this tree was problematic was because, thirdly, it did not fulfill its purpose. Its purpose. My brothers and my sisters, when it all comes down to it, God wants you to fulfill your purpose. Amen. He's not impressed with what you want to do. All right. He's impressed with what he has called and ordained you to do, and you do it. He don't care nothing about you wanting to sing and can't sing.